Good evening. I would like to call this meeting to order of the EBC, the first voting meeting. Before we get to our agenda, I would just like to make a few comments. As most of you know, we lost Bob DeLuca over the weekend, and for me it was especially poignant on October 6th when Bob appeared here with Betsy and people from his staff to present their budget. And I think it was more for Bob than it was for us in the sense that he really wanted to be here and he was insisting on being here. And I thought it was a really great move for those people who helped him to get here. And he was able to show up here and talk about his budget and make some pretty good comments about Tompkins County and how Tompkins County has operated mental health in other social service departments during his time here. And what I would like is a short moment of silence for Bob. Thank you very much. And we will now proceed to the more mundane things of that, in the grand scheme of things, is a speck of sand. We are now talking about the Tompkins County budget in this voting meeting. And I want to start off with one of the questions that was asked by members of the ledge is a discussion on rollover. And the county administrator is prepared to do that now. And if we have questions during it, Joe will be certainly glad to take those. So, great. County Administrator Joe Marion.
Thanks, Jim. I just plan to go through generally what rollover is, refresh everybody on how rollover relates to policy and how we apply it and how it gets involved in the budget. I'll also point you to Section 2, Page 5 of the budget, which summarizes rollover, which shows you by department who has what, who has allocated what, both during the early part of this year and as a part of this budget. So if you'd like to see how the money's been allocated and what's there, you can do that in Section 2 on page 5. Just as kind of a way to refresh, and I did send out the excerpt from policy the other day, what the intent of rollover is, I think everyone knows, it was really a tool to encourage departments to save money over the course of a year as opposed to getting involved in the use-it-or-lose-it philosophy that does sometimes affect spending behavior in departments. So in terms of what the policy was intended to do, that was primarily it, to encourage departments to be efficient and to, wherever they could, save money with an opportunity subsequent to that to be able to apply that money for priorities that were identified by the department. Importantly, once that rollover was earned, a department couldn't simply just go out and spend it. There are controls on the way that money is spent, and I think all of you are aware of that. Nothing can be spent out of rollover without your explicit approval to spend it. That happens, I think you recall, earlier in the spring when David Squire certifies how much was generated in rollover. Departments can come forward at that point. If they want to appropriate the money that year, they can ask for it at that time. They can also come back through this budget process, which many have, to ask that rollover be applied to help them pay for things that are requested in the 2012 budget. The goal of rollover has been consistently to tie that money to the extent possible, one-time expenditures, so you don't become dependent upon one-time money to support ongoing expenses. And we've held pretty close to that discipline over the time that this policy has been in place. I should also say where the money comes from. It used to be that wherever savings was generated within a department's budget, I think with the exception of fringe, it was eligible to be put into their rollover pool. You know that over the past couple of years, we've changed that policy so that it's only the savings in non-personnel items that can be applied and requested as rollover. Any savings that occur in a department's personnel line, if they keep a position vacant, if they don't spend as much as they planned, that money doesn't go to rollover. It goes to the general county fund. It accrues to the benefit of the general county. So in terms of controls and how it works, that's a summary of that. In terms of how much money is involved, if you go to that section 2, page 5, you will see that at the end of 2010, we had $1.6 million in rollover. Earlier this year, prior to this budget, you approved the allocation of $302,000 of that amount. And most of that came in just two departments, the clerk and the sheriff. Clerk for a scanning project, the sheriff for a number of initiatives in that department. So almost all of the early draw this year was applied to those two departments, but others did receive allocations as well. Then if you look at how much money from rollover is being applied in the 2012 budget, you'll see in one of the far right columns that $305,000 in rollover is applied to the 2012 budget. I will tell you that nearly all of it, I want to say virtually all of it, totally, the amount has totally been allocated for non-recurring expenditures. I think we're awfully close to that goal, but it may not be 100 cents on the dollar, so I don't misrepresent it. But nearly all of that money is indeed for one-time expenses, which means that after allocating that $300,000, if you were to approve that, there's $1 million left in the rollover accounts. Three-quarters of $1 million left in rollover, you can see, is in the accounts of two departments, health and DSS. That's where most of that money is. And when I say it's in their account, I don't mean it's literally in their account. Remember, that is a general county asset until a department comes forward and you approve the use of that money for a departmental purpose. In fact, until you do allocate it, rollover funds are indistinguishable, for most purposes, from just the county general fund. David can use that rollover money to help with cash flow. It's there for that. It's not sent off to a separate place and unavailable. It can be used for cash flow. Importantly, it is viewed by the rating agencies as basically fund balance. So in terms of how they look at our credit, and you know reserves are important to the way a credit agency looks at our credit, that's an asset that they see on our books. So it really exists just as a general fund balance does. I think the question that may be kind of underneath the question about rollover is whether additional rollover can be used to support other expenditures in the budget. The answer technically is yes, it could. However, to the extent that additional rollover is used for recurring expenses, remember that's one-time money that won't be there the following year. And so there is what we used to call a yo-yo effect that can happen in the following year, that without that one-time money, then we have to either cut that expense or we have to raise taxes to fill that gap in the budget. So that's basically the long and short of rollover. If anybody would like, we have summarized where the rollover is in this year's budget as well as where we've applied we've applied reserves. So if you'd like to see that, we have that as well. But I guess I'd open it for questions.
Peter, and then Mike.
Quick question. $1.6 million you say is in the rollover fund. What's the total value of fund balance exclusive of that?
Unrestricted fund balance, 13. After we've adjusted for the use of rollovers, for draws that have occurred, it's about $13 million.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
Mike.
I know how rollover works. I've been here since it was invented, and I should say invented here. I don't believe there's any other municipality out there that uses our procedure. Doesn't necessarily make it wrong, but doesn't necessarily make it right either. Rollover is a spending program. It is allocating money every year that will be spent eventually. This legislature has almost never turned down a request for expenditure of rollover. It used to be quite often we would see Tyler's, which were using the rollover to get an increase in target, often for additional people to be hired. We haven't seen that so much, and I thank our county administrator for kind of slowing that down for us. But This is still setting apart $1 million every year to be spent in the future, which could help on the tax rate. In the past, we have allocated some money from fund balance toward reduction of the tax rate and the tax levy, I should say. And we could do that again. By making it a rollover procedure, we basically starve our fund balance so that we don't have money to apply to reduce each year, because it doesn't replenish the same way it ought to. It replenishes in the rollover accounts, but it doesn't replenish for any benefit for the taxpayer other than to buy things on a one-time basis. I think that we should go into this account this year and take some of it, maybe not all of it, and we should then use some of that money for tax reduction. And I realize it'll be a one-year thing, but it may replenish again next year.
Anyone else? Dooley.
I was around when rollover was invented also, as Mike says. And the fact that he can call it a spending program now is sort of ironic, because what it replaced was the absolute incentive to have a department spend all the money it had in its budget or lose it. And this allowed the department instead to plan ahead, not feel they had to use it or lose it, and be more thoughtful about future spending. So I have found it to be a very useful program. Mike and I have never agreed on this, and I guess we never will. My question to Joe is, it was a new thing for you to learn to deal with, and I know that it was easy to look at it as maybe a source which we could take from one department and give to another from, but that would also do away with the original intent of it. I just wonder how you feel about it now.
I think as long as it's tied to one-time expenses, it's okay from a business perspective to do it. The last thing we want to do, and at one time, this county was allocating about $3.5 million every year out of the bank to reduce taxes, and that's one reason why we had a negative outlook placed in the ratings, and it becomes more difficult every year. As the budget tightens up, you can't shouldn't assume replenishment. So as long as it's used for one-time expenses, I think it's good policy, and as long as this legislature controls each one of those expenses to say if the clerk wants to spend money to do scanning, that it's acceptable to you, and that you have the right to say no. I think it's okay. With respect to what the money does while it's waiting for something to be requested again, while that's happening, the money is sitting in accounts that are controlled by David, and the money is being used to deal with cash flow needs and so forth. So it still exists there as a county asset.
Frank.
Thanks, Jim. I hate to admit this, but I too was around when rollover was invented, and I had a lot of trouble with it in those days, and I still have a little bit of trouble with it today. I tend to agree with some of the items that Mike raised. The concern that I have, and I think we raised this the last time we reviewed rollover at this level, this may not be while there may be a portion of this, and I'd have to get some more input and defer to Joe and perhaps David to see how much of that $1 million we could comfortably allow the departments to give up to refund the fund balance. I think before we start going into the rollover account, we need to understand first, which departments still have rollover, and what would be remaining after the 2012 budget is done, and make sure that we understand that we're not going to be impacting something that perhaps they are planning for, and that there may be a 2 or 3 year long-range plan in the works that we may destroy, which is exactly what rollover was intended to help do, and that was long-range planning. But there's a caveat here, and it's one that I'm a little disappointed in this budget process that we've been going through the last couple of weeks. We have avoided going into base budgets. We have tended to stay with OTRs. And I think that it's incumbent on all 15 of us, perhaps at our regular committee meetings, to make sure we understand, as the year goes on, what constitutes the base budget and how things are being spent. If we're not doing that, we will become victims of last-minute changes and some of the items that we may be discussing a little later tonight, because we don't understand what's a want and what's a need. I had a colleague of ours, a legislator of ours, describe what column some of these things appear in when they should be in a different column a little earlier this month. And I tended to agree with that person. So while I think Mike is on the right track, I, for one, would want to understand, before we go into that fund, what the impact would be on the departments that still have the rollover account with some funding in it, because I don't think it would be fair to a department to rate it right now without knowing what the impact might be. If we're going to change this, it took us 3 or 4 years, if you remember, Mike and Dooley, to even set up the rollover procedure, because there was a lot of controversy about it a number of years ago, and I think that it may take more than just a meeting, with all due respect to Joe, a meeting on the 17th of October to decide whether we wanted to dip into this account or not. So I'd like to move a little slowly on this one.
Martha?
Peter?
After. When I wasn't here when rollover was created, and I know it was created to solve a problem, a perceived problem, and I have to say, just because other people haven't figured it out doesn't mean it's not a good idea. We wish other counties had countywide assessment in the state of New York, but they haven't figured that out either. We used to have equipment lines in budgets. When I first came, 2002, those are gone. There's no, nobody has, not even emergency response, which is kind of almost entirely an equipment department. There's no equipment line. It's ridiculous to think that a county government of our size doesn't have a way to replace equipment. Rollover is the way that we replace equipment. When I look at page 5, section 2, mostly they are very small amounts, with two exceptions. One is the health department, and Joe, I think it's $414,000. That has to do with the sale and transition for the CHA.
Actually, no. We are taking $443,000 out of our reserves to carry the CHA until the sale is completed. What you're seeing on page 2, page 5, whichever page it is.
Section 2, page 5.
The 414 is the balance in rollover for the health departments. That is balance. I think what Frank Krupa or Brenda Crosby might say is that's also there in case, because they have tremendous volatility in grants, and especially in their mandated program. We saw some of that in pre-K to the good this year, but there's great volatility in those programs, and this gives them an opportunity to come back to the legislature if things go the wrong way and ask for you to apply their money instead of general fund money to address those kinds of problems. That's the rationale for the health department. And also for DSS to have a bit of a rollover balance.
Mm-hmm. I feel like it's not, I mean, this not really an issue. I think it's smart money management and not being abused, and I don't think that it needs to change.
Well, let me just say this: we're not going to make a decision tonight on what to do with rollover. The current policy stays in place until some later time or that it's changed. Peter Stein.
Yeah, I can't claim to have been here when rollover policy was made. But
oh, go ahead.
I sure was a midwife at that birth, and I don't know if you understand what I'm talking about, but I heard about rollover more than I wanted. It was enough for a lifetime. But in the course of this discussion, something came up that absolutely shocks me. Do you mean that a department cannot put aside money from its budget, like a depreciation fund, to pay for a piece of equipment? So what, they have to, if Highway needs a new truck, what do? They have to ask to increase their budget at budget time to get a new truck?
Well, there are some departments. I think what Martha's saying is there are some departments, like Highways, that have some money set aside for equipment in their budget. So as a part of the budget that you're approving, assuming you will approve the budget, there is money in there for some equipment. However, when you compare the amount of money in this budget for equipment to maybe 5 or 10 years ago, it is substantially less equipment that we buy with property tax dollars, and more of it we have to buy with rollover money, money that we generated in savings from a prior year. So it's not as predictable or in our baseline as it used to be. Sheriff is a great example. Sheriff buys patrol cars now, not with an ongoing target appropriation of money, but with the allocation of rollover that department generated in the prior year or prior years to buy cars.
It seems odd to me that you can't have a systematic way of depreciating the equipment that you know is going to wear out. But it is, obviously, it's not the place to discuss it.
Yeah.
Martha?
I think Highway's an outlier because, you know, one piece of equipment is hundreds of thousands of dollars. But in other words, computers, you see every time we get rollover requests, they're almost always, you know, that's where departments find money to replace computers on whatever the schedule is that they can afford.
Okay.
Last comment, Carol. Go ahead.
No, I was going to ask if we could move on to ask Joe some other questions.
About rollover?
No, on another question on the overall budget.
Do I have a sense of the room that we're done with the rollover discussion? You can ask one question. Go ahead.
I have a question about, unless you already have a presentation prepared on this, about whether there are changes to any of the overall numbers that we have to work with in this budget from the last time you gave us an update on that.
No. The major drivers, and we've watched these pretty closely, the major drivers are what they are. And Carol wanted me to expand a bit on what the major drivers were and the good things that happened to construct this budget. Remember, pensions grew a little bit more slowly than we'd expected. That number is still our number, the best number we have in terms of an estimate of pension. There was a reduction in the mandate for pre-K special education. There was, I think, a $500,000 or $600,000 savings there. That's still the number, so there's been no change there. Major driver, no change. DSS revenue maximization, no change there. Utility cost decreases, no change there. Sale of the CHA, no change there. So the big things that had an effect in a positive way on the bottom line this year are where they were. We haven't seen any, we call them cross currents when the budget began. We haven't seen any significant negative cross currents either. So the estimates that were in place a month and a half ago when we launched the budget are still in place today.
No last-minute payments by the state that we didn't think we'd get for a while?
No. Yeah, Dave's 2 cents, the check that he delivered a couple of weeks ago.
Thanks for that question, Carol. Let's get to the legislative proposals. And all of you have one on your desk, sheet with all of your names that have your proposals in for this meeting, and we'll start right off with Martha Robertson.
Thank you, Jim. I have a proposal related to. Oh, we're going to get a thing on the wall. Related to, I don't know, maybe our single biggest expense. as a program, Medicaid. My proposal is, and I'm not prepared to make a motion on this tonight, but I wanted to have us think about this and have a look at it. In Section 2, page 1, there's the budget overview, and Medicaid is listed as, for 2012, $12,460,000.
Martha, please say your page number again.
Page 1 in Section 2.
Okay.
It's the county, the budget overview. So in 2012, Medicaid is listed at the mandate side of Medicaid, which is not administration of it, is simply the bills that we have to pay when somebody gets health care. This is what we pay, $12,460,000. That's an increase of almost $709,000 over the current year. The number I've come up with here, $489,782. The idea is, as we know, the New York State Association of Counties has a proposal with for a state takeover of Medicaid over a period of 8 years. It's called Senate Bill 5889B. There's an assembly companion. I don't know the number for that. There are about 24 legislators already signed on as co-sponsors, including our own Barbara Lifton and Senators O'Mara and Seward, which I'm pleased about that. That bill would have, as the first step for the state to do in 2012, establish an actual cap, not a cap on the growth, but an actual cap on Medicaid spending at the local level for the first 9 months of the year. And then beginning in October 1st, the state would we would see a 5% reduction in our weekly shares on our Medicaid payments. As people know, Medicaid is, as in most states, a state and federal program. In New York, it's a federal, state, local program. So we've been subsidizing New York State to the degree that we are in Tompkins County, and every other county in New York has been paying a local share in Medicaid. And our subsidy for New York State this year is, for 2012, is going to be about $12.5 million. So if, however, the legislature passed Senate 5889B and the governor signed it, or if the legislature passed it and he vetoed it and they overrode, the savings to Tompkins County would be $489,782 for 2012. So what I would like to see is, well, actually, what we are proposing here would be not that we not levy those taxes, because the bill hasn't passed yet, clearly, but I would like to see what were to happen if that amount did not have to be levied. What would happen to the tax levy here? What would, if Joe's recommended budget at 5.4%, if we could take out $489,782, where would we be with no other changes to the budget?
Give me a second.
Down 1%.
So the line here on your legislative proposal sheet shows moving it from the Medicaid mandate line to what, 9101, is that the fund balance?
Yeah, it's a fringe. In fact, we may want to, as this goes forward, David would prefer to go into a different account number, put it in the contingency account.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't affect the substance of what you're talking about.
Okay, so, and as I said, I'm not ready to make the motion, but I wanted to see what that did to the levy. No, if we didn't charge that amount.
Kevin,
we didn't have to cover that
amount. I think it would knock it down by about 1.2%. So it roughly would take it from 5.4% down to 4.2%, the increase in the levy.
I'm sorry, say that again?
Right. It would reduce.
Wrong way. It's wrong way.
The recommended budget would increase the levy by 5.4%. This would reduce it by about 1.2% to 4.2%. Hopefully your arithmetic works out the way
mine
does. There you go.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
So, and that's just for 2012, if that Senate, if that legislation were to go through without any other changes, our levy would go down that amount. And then the legislation is structured so that the savings to counties increases every year. In other words, the subsidy to the state decreases to cover by eight years, to have a full state takeover in 8 years. So, okay, I just wanted to have that be demonstrated.
Let me just repeat, we're not doing anything with this, but clearly some people have their hand up, and you can make some comments. I had Carol, Frank, and Mike so far.
Yeah, I mean, even just to consider this, what would be the risks involved in considering doing this and then not have it come through would make a real mess out of our budget later in the
month. Right. No, I'm not. If we were just to move it to a different account, Joe, that wouldn't.
Right,
we still pay the bill when the bill comes.
So the actual Medicaid budget would show the revised amount, the lower amount, but there would be another expenditure over in the contingency account. So we would still be raising the same $12 million in Medicaid. We would show a smaller amount to reflect what we would expect to pay under the new Senate bill.
There would be no change in the
wouldn't
tax.
Affect, wouldn't affect tax no, or anything else.
Martha just wants to see idea, if this were to happen. What would it look like?
Have Frank?
Yeah. To coin a phrase of one of our distinguished colleagues, I'm confused.
Not me.
I didn't use your name, Peter. This is a hypothetical.
Mm-hmm.
Just moving the money from account A to account B doesn't change any proposal whatsoever. It's still money that has to be levied. So
right.
if the levy remains at 5.4, that still has to be raised. My concern, and I kind of agree with Carol, early in the game, some of us learned about 2 weeks ago, maybe not quite that long ago, that the governor is not predisposed to sign anything with regard to changes in Medicaid. All the work of that special commission on which I believe Martha is a member kind of went out the window. I mean, well, I shouldn't say that. It's been frustrating, I'll bet, it to say the least. But he's already announced that he's not signing anything. He would veto a bill that came before him. So moving the money from account A to account B, if you think it would help, fine. If it's just an accounting switch, fine. But we really should be dealing with some whatever the real proposals might be rather than the hypotheticals at this stage of the game, shouldn't we?
I didn't make the motion.
Throwing this out as food for thought.
I have you, Peter. Thanks, Frank. I agree with you, but, you know, people raise their hand, and I'm not going to not let you talk on this thing, okay? Mike.
I think the point has been made that this is just an academic exercise, and I won't say anything more.
Peter, going to a true academic.
I have a question for Martha through you. Assuming that what the last two speakers have said is true, what's the point of it? So that's my question.
What's the point of presenting this here?
No, what's the point of passing it if, in fact, it's nothing more than, if it doesn't restrain us in any way or doesn't harm us in any way, then why do it? That's my question.
Well, it could be. I am in communication with county leaders around the state, and there's, frankly, we're in way better shape than many of them, and many of them have a much bigger expense on Medicaid. So there's, there's some strategy being discussed about what to do. And I will say I am confused about the governor's comments that he's not going to subsidize counties because he spent the whole campaign talking about mandate relief. And the legislature spent all last budget season talking about mandate relief. It was like the next phrase after tax cap, then there would be mandate relief. And so I'm beyond disappointed at the press conference, but the statements that he made, I'm hoping that that's just his opening shot and that maybe there's will be some response from counties. So, you know, I'm optimistic that people can change their points of view and maybe we can encourage him to do that.
Thank you, Martha. Let's move on to the next item, Robeson Lane, which I don't know if it's hypothetical or not, but we'll find out soon.
And it's Robeson.
Oh, Robeson, I'm sorry.
I put this on here, and it's a little further than an academic exercise, but I think it's time we talked about the elephant in the room. The elephant in the room is whether or not this legislature is going to go with the 2.9% tax cap budget. We had a vote on a divided legislature at our last meeting that said we had authority to override the cap. I think we need to find out, and I think people need to say whether or not they're willing to propose and vote for a 2.9% tax rate increase solely. Since early April, our county administrator has been showing us what the situation was. We started with over 11% gap in the budget. We saw efforts at cuts. We asked for both scenarios to be given to us, a recommended budget and also the 2.9% scenario. And I think we and many of the people that looked at our budget presentations were amazed when they began to understand that mandates, one mandate was more than 2.9% on our levy. Now, some people think that we should cut deeper into our budget. We've had a steady reduction over the years in our number of employees, in our positions that we have had in our roster. We've cut back on services. So at this point, I think that we ought to go on record as to whether or not we're going there. And if not, then we should just go ahead and work up the budget as we always do and see whether we can support that.
Is there a motion? Brian?
Not yet. What I meant.
I'm sorry?
I said no, not a motion. Can I speak to this as well?
Oh, absolutely. We're in random talking tonight. Go ahead.
What's that?
We're in random talking mood tonight, so go ahead.
Obviously, I agree with a lot of what Mike said. I look around the room, and this one possible motion doesn't make me feel real popular around here. As a matter of fact, I haven't felt this unpopular maybe since I ran for sheriff. But at any rate, this has been looming over us since November of last year. And I was glad to see where we had actually gone ahead and made the move to at least agree to discuss an override of the budget. Some people were apprehensive at that point because they don't have all the information. We now have all the information. We do. The public that wants it does. And I, for one, would like to just stand up and say, look it, either I wholeheartedly agree with this or we're going to move on. You know, we're going to stand up. We're going to say, hey, we can't do what we feel we can do for the public at that figure, and that's why we're going to be spending the next several weeks discussing something other than this. Having said that, maybe I will make that motion, and if it passes, we can all go home. But
until the next meeting,
right.
Is there a motion and a second, Mike?
Yep.
Let me say this, that I think I would ask that we do a roll call vote on this and get people's hands in the air, Martha and Pam.
Early today, I saw a sheet that I thought I'd see on my desk, but I don't see it here. Joe, you have a list of...
Yeah, and Joe will be passing out a sheet. It is the difference between the recommended budget and the property tax cap budget. Kevin will be.
So I just want to say, I tend to like to do things, especially important things, for a reason. And not just because somebody picked out a number out of thin air. So that's what I think the tax cap is, a number out of thin air, and I'm not going to support this.
Pam.
I just would like to point out that at our last meeting, Peter Stein introduced a motion that delayed the vote on the tax cap to a later date. Just so we would avoid this kind of what we're doing right now. I think that, because I think that people don't know whether they're going to vote for the tax cap, because we haven't gone through all the OTRs, we haven't looked at this whole piece. But I think that this is not a time well spent right now. But if we had waited to a later date to vote on the tax cap, we would not be having this discussion now.
Anyone else? Carol.
Yeah, no, I want to thank Brian for putting this forward. And I really respect that. I don't think it's an unpopular thing to do. I respect that you brought forward the notion of separating the arbitrary number from what our deliberations about the budget is going to be. I think that was really important to do, and I'm glad that we did it when we did. And I respect bringing forward the notion of trying to stick to that now that we're talking about actual numbers. It will make a big difference to me how I vote on the various other amendments that people are bringing forward if I think that there will later be a move to sort of undo the work that we're doing of crafting the individual items, in favor of something like this. So I actually would be in favor, if we're going to do something like this, voting on it now and deciding on whether we're going to aim for a much lower number, because for me that would make a big difference.
Well, I have one motion on the floor. Does anyone else want to speak to it? Frank?
Thanks, Jim. The motion was made and seconded?
It was.
Okay. The assuming this, if this were to pass, I think, if I heard Brian correctly, then we can all go home. If this were not to pass, we'll be discussing the budget, but it doesn't mean this can't come back again at some other time. Is that correct? Okay. That's all I want to know.
Well, Frank, you're absolutely right. I have a draft resolution here that if, in fact, it did pass, I would fill in the numbers, and that would be the number that we presented to the public hearing. But, frankly, I'm hoping it doesn't pass. Carol?
Wait, so I have a question about that. Even if it did pass, would we still be able to make motions to add and subtract?
What would happen next
is this. 2.9%.
What would happen next is this, that it would be, that would not be the motion that would send the budget to the public hearing, I don't think. It would have to be an official meeting of the legislature we would have to recommend the budget that would be put on the sheet, and we would vote on that resolution to move forward. And yes, I will say with ample evidence, there is nothing carved in stone about the budget. You can change the budget up until the last second before you vote on it.
Well, so. Maybe it's that I want clarification. Is the motion to stick to 2.9% or to adopt this 2.9% budget with every item the way it is in the administration?
I don't want to speak for you, but I will. I believe it's 2.9% the way it's written, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Peter.
I think there's an important procedural question bouncing around here, which I hoped we could address at the beginning, which is, I believe that if this were a regular legislative meeting, and in fact we passed that, we would be bound to abide by it, because once you voted for something, you can't change it. So that, unless my understanding is right, I mean, if there was one number and something wins, you can't vote to repeal it at the same session unless some person that voted the other way brings it up or something like that.
Okay.
I was hoping that this is not, however, a regular meeting of the legislature. It's a committee, and generally committees are much looser about the formal use of such procedural bars, and that they work on something. There's something called committee of the whole, where you ignore these things and you just work on it as if you were a committee. Now, we are a committee, and it would be my hope that no matter what we pass, we can change that later on before we get to the final decision without fussing around with Robert's rules and seeing if, in fact, the fact that we passed it before meant we can't change it. So I would just like a ruling on that.
It is Jonathan's opinion that we follow the rules of the legislature as written down.
Okay.
Martha.
But Brian and Mike can make whatever motion they want. So I'm a little confused. Is the motion to adopt the 2.9% budget that Joe has put in here as what the 2.9 is?
Right.
Mike says yes. Your motion is to adopt Joe's configuration of the 2.9% budget.
Yes.
So that would be it. If this passes, then we are done.
Well, no, it's David, does someone want to? No, it isn't completely.
I think the committee would. The committee would approve it that way. The legislature would have to vote on it,
and what? Once the legislature voted on it, even till the night of the public hearing, at the public hearing, that would be the budget that would be presented to the public. We could change it at the public hearing based on what we hear from the public. So Jim's explanation is absolutely correct. Until the final vote of the legislature on whatever comes out of the public hearing is done, we can talk about this till the cows come home. But this, Peter was on the right track. This is simply a committee of the whole, and we are just the budget committee recommending to the full board.
Martha.
But if this group, as the expanded budget committee, votes to accept the 2.9% budget that Joe's presented here, by a majority of the people here, I don't think we can undo this until Leslin comes back and if she wants to have it reconsidered, or somebody who votes with the prevailing side it reconsidered at the next. Maybe this is silly because I'm hoping this wouldn't pass anyway,
but I think
it should be clear.
But we're following the rules of the legislature, and what you said is accurate. Carol.
But don't we have a precedent? People voted for things at committee to move it forward to the legislature and then make a different decision on the floor of the legislature. That is in our rules,
well,
right?
Yeah, I believe that's what extends the meetings past the, for 2 and 3 hours. Yeah, absolutely. I don't think it's a big deal, folks. You have an opportunity, and I think you should vote on it one up or down and see how it plays out, and then we'll go on from there. Okay?
Jim, before we vote, excuse me, could Joe take a minute and just run through this sheet that was distributed?
Sure.
Thank you.
The sheet that Frank is talking about is the one recently handed out by our friend Kevin.
Yeah, I can go through this, and I probably don't want to read every row to you because you can read better than I. But you can see that the bottom line is about $1 million in spending that would be included in the recommended budget would be excluded from the budget supported within the cap. It's about $1,033,000. Most of that is property tax money. There's only $30,000 of reserves that are a part of that. It would also mean a reduction of 6.4 FTEs beyond what we've cut. Some of those are reduced hours as opposed to full-time individuals. Some, however, would be individuals who would be affected by this cut. You can see some of the larger ones in here. I'll just call to your attention. Assessment all told would lose almost $68,000. In the combination of personnel and non-personnel expenses. I think the $17,000 item also includes a stipend for the Board of Assessment Review, which would drop to zero. My office would be affected both in terms of the work week of me and my staff going to 37 and a half hours, for the Deputy County Administrator to remain part-time. COFA has a large change in emergency response, one and a half positions there. Would not be funded a half dispatcher and a full-time assistant director of fire and emergency management. Skipping a health department, here you recall that there was an effort to deal with increasing workloads, not by hiring more people, but increasing the hours of employees already there. And we save on the fringe benefits side of that because our health costs remain the same. It's cheaper. That opportunity would go away, that $64,000. Very large reduction in the amount of paving that we would be able to do next year. I think this would mean that we would have to cut our paving effort by about 20% next year. Some changes in human rights, including a paralegal and an intern, reduction in the hours for the paralegal, and I believe no intern at all. Reduction in human service agencies, information technology, has some significant cuts, including our desire to rebuild that department. I think we all have agreed we'd like to ramp up staffing there and capabilities. That ramp up is that $38,000 item that would go away. Planning has a significant reduction, as does OAR. Planning in I think it's the hours of operation, the $65,000. Everybody would experience a reduced work week without this OTR being approved. Rural libraries would be affected. The sheriff's office would be affected in terms of one less sergeant, which is a budgeted position right now. Their budgeted roster would go down by one full sergeant. Soil and water would be below their 2011 allocation. Very large impact on the public library. $100,000 would not be supportable. That's about two positions. And again, in youth services, you can see that there are several changes there, including the domestic violence program. I will acknowledge that some of the items in here are relatively arbitrary. I made some decisions in putting together a budget that will fit into the cap. So there's no perfect science that governed these allocations. It was my best judgment on what the priorities of the county were and what was needed to keep this government and our programs together, and this is what resulted. So again, bottom line, $1 million of difference, reduction in spending. About 6.4 FTEs, and you can see where those impacts would be most concentrated.
Brian.
I too was under the impression that this was just one large committee structure versus, a once and for all vote on the budget, although that's how it's written. I have been to every one of the presentation meetings, and maybe I can take a little bit of gasp out of everyone by saying I tend not to support my own resolution. but I think it's important that we say that up front.
Yeah.
You know, my constituents probably want to know. And I might be probably more informed than they are and will certainly take the heat for it. But I tend not to agree with the 2.9. And I think I can say that. You know, if I'm allowed, I don't know. I made the motion. Do I have to stick to it?
No.
No. Okay.
Pat.
I'm wondering about the library. There are two lines here. Excuse me. For rural library services and the Tompkins County Public Library, indicating that the rural library would lose maintenance of effort, but it doesn't say that. Can that loss of maintenance of effort be severed between the rural library services and the downtown library, or would the entire library as a system lose?
Tilt the whole balance of all libraries?
A little bit.
Would the our public downtown public library suffer from loss of maintenance of effort also?
So that $100,000 that's specifically for the library will not affect the maintenance of effort. Am I correct, Susan?
It's the rural library. The issue is
if that gets cut, the rural library's their maintenance of effort specifically will be cut, but it affects everybody.
The maintenance of effort is for the entire system.
That's what I thought. Fact,
yes.
And that would be Susan Curry.
So this line actually should be corrected on here to reflect that if we adopt this, then our county library, downtown county library, would lose its position in the Finger Lakes library system. Correct?
I think we want to make sure, because you're making an important point, Pat.
Yeah.
I think we want to make sure, because we are in this one, well, our library would be right at maintenance of effort. I believe that's what you would be left with, Susan. Under the cap budget, you were left with enough to make your maintenance of effort, but nothing above
that.
We
have someone from Finger Lakes here, but who can speak to the whole thing. But my understanding is that it's the whole part of the package, that maintenance of effort has to be met for all of the libraries.
Right.
In all counties, in all five counties.
Hi, thank you. I'm Elaine Knapp, the business manager at the Finger Lakes Library System. The way the state calculates it, it's done as a system-wide aggregate, so that even if you, depending on what would happen to the downtown library, if you force the maintenance effort issue at the rural library, it would trigger it for the whole entire system. And we're at a situation where we could lose upwards of almost $300,000 in our state aid if you trigger our maintenance effort at the system level. So it would be more accurate to say in this that at the line down that the Tompkins County Public Library, because they're part of our system, would also be subject to a loss of maintenance effort would be the proper way to put this here.
Thank you.
Thank you. Knowing what we've just heard, are we ready to vote on this? Roll call,
Mr. Burbank?
No.
Ms. Chalk?
No.
Ms. Herrera?
Yes.
Ms. Kiefer?
No.
Mr. Lane?
No.
Ms. Mackesy?
No.
Mr. McKenna?
No.
Mr. Proto?
No.
Ms. Pryor?
No.
Ms. Robertson?
No.
Mr. Robinson?
No.
Mr. Shinagawa?
No.
Mr. Stein?
No.
Mr. Dennis?
I know.
We have one eye, 13 no's.
Right. Okay. Motion is defeated. On to the next item, Peter Stein Highway, OTR number 103. It's in section 3, page 202 of your white book. And Peter is, you can read for yourself. Peter, go ahead.
Well, first off, I want to thank Brian Robeson for introducing that, because I was pretty nervous here. I thought that by the time we got to that the tenor of the meeting was that you weren't supposed to vote on anything. So, but I do intend to introduce this and will vote for it. And I'd like to explain what it is I'm doing. And I was hoping that we could vote for it as a package. But if that's not according to our rules, then so be it. But I'd like to explain the whole thing.
Do you want
to
move it first, Peter?
Yeah, I'd like to move it as a package.
Is there a second?
Point of order, a point of information, I guess. Jim, you didn't let Peter finish his motion. Could you let him finish that?
Pam, I believe he was going to explain what he was going to do, and you know, it makes it way simpler if we put the motion on the floor, and then he can talk
I agree, except I think that that's what he tried to do, and you interrupted him. I didn't hear at the end what he was saying, and so if you could just let him do that, I would appreciate it.
Let me make my motion. I would like to introduce this as a package. Is that a possible motion?
What package?
The package is all of these things taken together.
Proposal number three. There's a list of
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 items.
Is there a second to that package? Pat,
I'll second it for purposes of discussion.
Peter, you're on.
Okay, well, I'd like to explain the genesis of this and why it is that I'm making this motion. Back in April, at a meeting, we agreed on we were told by the county administrator that the maintenance of effort budget was something around 13%. It would require a 13% it would require a 13% tax increase to maintain our maintenance of effort. I may make an error of a tenth of a percent in one of these numbers, but I don't think it needs correcting if I did. That as a result of that, what we did at our meeting is that we agreed upon a working number of 5.4% in the property tax increase, which would imply that there would be a 7.8% reduction in our budget. So we said, okay, we need 13%, and what we're doing is we're dividing it. We're dividing it as 7.8% of budget cuts and 5.4% of tax increase. And that, by the way, was a ratio of 1.5 for budget cuts to tax increase. I voted for that. That seemed like the right thing to do at that time. I, in fact, wondered myself whether we should have a somewhat higher property tax increase, because it seemed to me that that ratio of 1.5 between cuts and increase in the budget was not quite right, but I voted for it. Now, switch to October. In October, the numbers changed a lot. And, of course, I'm not criticizing the county administrator. Things happened. Things changed in Albany. People found savings within our departments, and in fact, as I understand it, in October, a maintenance of effort budget would amount to an 8% tax increase or an 8% cut in services. And now, what the county administrator's recommendation is that we divide that as 5.4% increase in taxes and 2.7% in reduction in services, which is quite a big change. In April, we said 1.5 in cuts versus tax increase, and now in October, we're saying 0.5 is the ratio of cuts in services to in tax increase. What that leads me to believe that had we known these numbers that we see in October, in April, we would never have voted for a 5.4% tax increase. That we would say that we should split the cuts more equitably between 5.4 and the 2.7. And that's my best guess, is that that's what I would have done, I think, at that point. And I believe that a majority of people would have agreed to that particular scenario. I may be wrong, but that's what I think. I know that my constituents want us to adhere to the tax cap. I myself don't think it's possible, But I myself think that what my constituents want us to do is to cut our programs at a higher rate and increase the taxes by a lower rate. So given that, I wondered how I could go about looking at this. I'm relatively new at this game. This is my second budget that I participated in. It's overwhelming. The book is about 2 inches thick. If it's very hard to find something in it, at least for me. And frankly, going through 309 programs, I decided I was not up to that task, to make a decision as to what I would cut to get down to some lower value. And it seemed to me that looking at the budget that was presented by the county administrator provided a good way of trying to an exercise to see could we, in fact, reduce that levy reasonably to something lower than 5.4%. And the number I set for myself was to make it halfway in between the 5.4% and the 2.9% of the tax cap. And doing that would, in fact, divide the shortfall equally between tax increase and cuts in services. So then what I decided to do was to put as much trust in the county administrator as I possibly could and reduce the job that I had to face to something that was handleable. And so what I said was, well, I'll accept all of the OTRs under the tax cap. And then what I'll do is look at the OTRs that we have between the tax cap and the 5.4%. And that's really possible to do because there's only something like 30 of them. And so I looked at each one of those 30s with the following exercise in mind. Could I get rid of half of those expenses and get to reduce the tax levy to halfway in between 5.4 and 2.9% and still say that it's a budget which does not hurt my constituents and the people in the county sufficiently so as to reject it? And so let me tell you what I found. In the first place, one thing I decided was that one thing I have heard most from all of my colleagues and from the people that contact me and tell me what to do is that they do not want cuts in services to any of the programs that we supply to support the lives of our neediest citizens. And so I excluded all those from my tally. I'm not declaring that everything there is necessary, but with the amount of time and energy and analysis I could make, that was a decision I made. And so I just looked at everything else to see if I could find what amounts to something like $500,000 cuts. And I'd like to explain what it is and why I did it. The first one was highway. And highway, $240,000 that was put in as an OTR, and I reduced that to $120,000. Now, does that mean I don't think roads are important? No, I do think roads are important. But frankly, I think we do highways in not a very good way. I believe that we ought to look at highways as a maintenance program, which is a core program. There's nothing so much as a core program that we have as keeping the roads so that they're drivable and usable. But this is a multi-year project. If we make a cut, a single cut at this point, we'll never see it. But if we make a single cut every year, then we'll see it 10 years from now or 15 years from now. And I believe that these cuts in highway should not take place. We should consider expenditures that we make on highway the same way as we consider those sacred items that Joe writes down, where we have a contract or something or other that we have to do and we can't cut, and takes those off the list of cuts. The right way to do that, I think that it is possible to maintain the roads at a somewhat lower level than we do at the moment. I drive through the county, and I think most of the roads are in pretty good shape. And so what I would do, I would like the highway department to figure out a maintenance program that we can agree upon, namely upgrade roads every, 15 years, 20 years, something at a somewhat lower level than we have at the moment, And then stick to that. Never talk about it again. Because it doesn't seem to me to be the right way to make decisions about maintenance. So I took half of that thing and eliminated it because I believe that eliminating half of that highway program at this one time will not affect anything that anyone can see for the next 10, 15 years. So this is, to my mind, this is the first payment on making that kind of a change in the way we consider highway maintenance. Next thing is emergency response. Now, unfortunately, emergency response is something I do know something about. I know that we are now about to have a study done by a consultant about the whole way that we have emergency response managed, who we have, what number of people we have, in what kinds of positions, how much we pay them, that whole thing. We're going to go through that. And it seems to me that at this particular time, this is not the time to commit ourselves to two more people in set positions. So what I would like to do with that is to include that at the moment, because that's Lee's idea as to what the best thing to do at the moment, make it a one-time expense, and after the consultant has his work done and we redesign it, then we decide what we need in emergency response and what we don't need. So that cut that. The sheriff's office, unfortunately, that's another program. It's probably the only two programs I really know some, or feel that I have some confidence in. In the sheriff's office, I am not convinced that we need that extra sergeant. I've looked through the numbers. I've looked through the ratios that are recommended for the people we have on hire, and depending on the number of shifts that have to be run. And it looked to me like that excess, that sixth sheriff, was not necessary. And what I would like to do with that is to not fund that position and then look carefully at what happens as a result of that. It's conceivable to me that the overtime will go up, and then I will see that that's a mistake. But I think we'll never know whether that sixth sheriff is necessary unless we get rid of it and watch it carefully. I took something out of planning because it was sort of the same argument that I make about highway, is that it doesn't really affect anything very much on the short scale. And that's why my reduction comes into planning. Assessment is one I feel sort of badly about, because I happen to believe that we probably have the best assessment operation in the whole state of New York. I'm convinced that it's an excellent assessment operation. But on the other hand, I'm not sure that we need the very best assessment operation in the state of New York. And if I have to make a cut, and this is a cut that I've said to myself, this is what I would do if I have to make that cut, then I would take I would deny that OTR. And facilities, there was a small amount in facilities having to do with some maintenance issues, some grass cutting issues, which I thought that could go. That was not necessary. Now, none of these things that I'm cutting are bad, okay? But summed up, what this does is that it changes the tax levy to halfway between 5.4 and 2.9, about 4 or 4.1, something like that. So that's my reason why I'm doing that.
Thank you. Kathy. Martha Bryan. Carol.
Thank you. I'd like to make a motion to separate, and I'll tell you why. There are things on this list that I would support cutting, and there are things on this list that I would not support cutting. There are things on this list that I would like to increase the cut. There are things on this list that I would like to decrease the cut. I could also make a motion to substitute with my own list of 20 items that I'd like to cut right now. I really don't think this is the most efficient or thoughtful way to do it. I would like to have each item be voted on separately. In the absence of being allowed to do that, with the respect of my colleagues, I'll just vote no against all of this, which may be what some of y'all want anyway, but I just don't like this approach, and I don't think it's a really clean way to do this, especially at this stage of budget deliberations.
Are you making a motion?
Motion to separate?
Yes.
Each item into an individual item? That's what I moved.
Is there a second? Mike?
Yes.
Okay. Pam? Martha, do you want to speak to the motion or?
Well,
Hold on a second. I had Brian, I had Kathy, or Carol, now I have Pam.
Yeah, I'll support the motion to separate, although I do think this is a thoughtful way to go. I think Peter's, done a very interesting analysis. I happen to disagree with it, but a lot. but I also know that it's really hard for people to accept any, big package like this, and I'll agree with the
all
motion.
Right, so you'll do that, Brian?
That's not why I had my hand up. I would agree to separate, though.
Okay. Carol? I guess we move to the separation.
Yeah. No, I'm not sure if I'm going to vote for or against the separation. I don't think we should separate it at this point, because I'd like the chance to vote on the concept that led to Peter assembling this list. That's not to say that I wouldn't like to see us discuss different amounts on some of these things, most of which I don't support, even separately in the amounts he's got listed. But the concept that led you to this, I think, is really flawed. And I don't want to see us get...
I understand that it could be flawed,
like,
but we're really talking about the separation resolution.
Yeah, that's why. So I don't think we should separate it, because I think we should address head-on this notion that the 5.4% budget in any of our minds back in the spring was going to be anywhere close to providing maintenance of effort. A maintenance of effort budget back in the spring was going to require something like 14% tax levy increase. That was so overwhelming. Even if it's a little better than that now, and we wouldn't need 14%, we still would need a whole lot more than 5.4%. And so I was trying to get out the list.
You know what? I think what you should do is vote against the resolution and hope that we could get back to where you want to go.
Well, I mean, I promised to be shorter than Peter was.
It's separate, and it's not even doesn't have a dollar amount to it. It's a way to proceed. Okay.
I have another chance to talk about the 5.4% and how we got to it, whether that's what we should be trying for?
I imagine you will. I'm sure you will, but it isn't really the time right now, because we have a motion to separate the $500,000 items that he has out there, and I think that's sort of the way it looks like we should vote on that right now.
I don't want to separate, because I would like the chance to talk about.
Okay, so I can. I already know where you're going to vote then, Pam.
Yes, I think that Peter's analysis is a very interesting one, and I don't agree with him on the things that he has chosen. So I will vote to separate, but I think that we also need a vote on whether we are willing to take on the target of 4.15% increase by making reductions comparable to what Peter has proposed here, because I think that it makes some sense.
Dooley?
I will vote to separate, but not without having a chance now to say that I think Peter's conception was interesting to listen to, but he ignored what he was proposing was an experiment to see how it worked, and maybe he'd have to come back and fill in what he'd cut. And what all this would achieve would be making us have a lower tax levy this year and probably a much harder, higher one the following year. So I don't support his concept, and I'm happy to vote to separate.
Art? Frank?
Thanks, Jim. I am going to vote to separate, and I'm beginning to regret that Brian and Mike didn't introduce a resolution earlier to vote for the 5.4%. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
You could introduce that.
Is there anyone else who wants to talk about the separation motion? We're ready. All in favor of Kathy's resolution to separate Legislator Stein's proposal, please raise your hand. Five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11 opposed. 1, 2, 3. 11, 3. So we are separated. Martha.
So I take it then we start at the top then?
I guess we did.
Okay, so.
Yeah.
So the first then discussion.
They're all Peter Stein, so he would have to move them and move on. And
no, they're all moved. You can separate as
well. Oh, they're separate. Okay, yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay, then on the highway one, Peter, you said something about we would just make this cut once, but you're moving to cut the target, which means we would have a lower level into the future, unless, as Julie said, you know, you didn't like the results of your experiment and you decide next year, you know, we should put it back. So then you're talking about, you know, going higher even than we are now. So, and I would point out that I'm pretty sure the last, pretty sure since Joe's been here, and this is your third budget, right, Joe?
Right.
Highway has been, well, maybe singled out is too tough a phrase, but highways had, I think, the biggest cuts of any department since Joe's been here. And, you know, it's a big number. It's, you know, you look for where the money is, and so that makes some sense. But I would point out that even at Joe's recommended level, it's a cut of, I lost the page now, but oh, here it is. Joe's recommending only 240 out of the 345, so he is already not funding the full OTR. So I won't support this.
Brian?
It's not directly to, well, yeah, I guess it is. As we go down this list, starting with highway, I would like to hear just a short blip from the department heads as to what impact that would be, because, and I will give you one example, the third one, dealing with the sheriff. When I look at the OTR, the only thing it says is one sheriff position. I have no idea what that sheriff does within that organization. And how important that is. So if we could just have a short blip from each.
Well,
good.
That's why they're here. Do you want to hear that right now? Or
we should probably do it as we're discussing.
Okay.
Each
well,
of
I have
items.
A couple other people who have their hands up, and you know, Bill is here. Joe is here. Go ahead, Bill. Joe.
I think Bill and I are on the same page here. This cut would reduce our paving by about 2.8 miles on a base of 17 miles. That's what we normally do. So that would be a 16.5% reduction in paving for 2012. My cut, again, Martha's right. I didn't recommend all that was requested, which is really to get back to even. The budget that I've recommended would reduce our paving by 8%. This would be a 16% reduction in paving output. So about 2.8 miles on a base of 17 miles.
I have Peter and Pat.
Yeah, I wanted to just repeat what I said when I moved this, is that I really knew very little about the operation of the actual paving operation. But I do believe, I keep seeing it cut all the time, and I think we ought to, this is not the right way to make that decision. We ought to have some kind of an agreement as to at what level are we going to repave and stick to it and not put it in as something to be played with as either for roads or against roads. It seems to me to be fundamentally different than any other program. Nobody would disagree that that's a fundamental core program that we have, but it makes no sense to have us year after year figure out what's the consensus of what we ought to cut it this year. We ought to figure out what level we want roads to be maintained to and stick to it.
I have Pat, and I have Martha, and I have Mike.
Thank you. I don't disagree with Peter's comments about the importance of determining what we want for our county roads and then including that as part of our core budget going forward. I don't think that the way to begin to implement that concept is in this particular process. I think it's something that needs more discussion, perhaps at a committee, and then needs to be included conceptually when the budget is put together. And so, although I might support the concept, I disagree with the implementation of it through this particular proposal. I'd like to support the comments that Martha made about the county roads, and I'd also like to add that as I talk to people out in Lansing, consistently for the people in rural areas, particularly in the northern part of Lansing, where we have a lot of farms, those people are totally dependent on the condition of our county roads to be able to get their products to market. And the one thing that they say to me consistently is, we need to take care of the county roads. So I really think I know how difficult it is because other cuts fall more heavily on people, whereas we can make a cut to roads and it seems like we're not hurting people in the same way we do with some other kinds of cuts. But this is a cut that I think falls disproportionately on rural parts of our county, and I can't support it.
Martha, Mike.
Thank you. Just a comment. Peter said something I just can't agree with. The idea of taking any part of our budget that says, whatever part of our budget, and saying, this is what we're going to do forever, and we're never going to talk about it anymore. That doesn't make any sense at all. I mean, I think maintaining the roads at some given level can be a goal, but every year we have to look at that goal along with all the other goals.
Thank you, Mike.
If we were to set that goal, I think we'd all be astounded by how much extra money we would need to put in to have a goal which would maintain our roads properly. For the last few years, we've had to struggle by and not maintain them to a level they should be. Remember, people die on our roads. If they aren't maintained properly, we get sued. I would guess, you can ask Jonathan this, but I would guess a good portion of the lawsuits we get have to do with the maintenance of our roads or alleged dismaintenance of our road, if that's a word. I don't think that the highway budget is sacrosanct, but I've heard at one of the public hearings a member of the public say, well, let's just not maintain the roads as much. It's all right if people go slower. Once a road starts to deteriorate, it goes and goes, and it quickly turns from a maintenance effort to a reconstruction effort, and that's mighty expensive. The stitch in time that saves nine is really true with our road maintenance. I think we can take some money out of here, and I probably could support something, but at this point I'd like to move to amend the resolution from a $120,000 reduction to a $75,000 reduction.
Is there a second?
Second.
Peter? Any discussion? Pam?
Well, could we hear some response on this from the Highway Department or our county administrator?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we have had in place in the county a pavement management system. We've been trying to maintain a 7.5 PQI, pavement quality index. With the increase of prices and the decrease of budget, we find it's increasingly more difficult to maintain the 7.5 PQI. This year, I think we're going to be down to about 7.3. We balance our program between paving and reconstruction and pavement preventive maintenance. We're starting to get into the preventive maintenance mode more than we are the paving. It's just starting to, we've got to take care of what we've got that's good and put some money in the areas that that need, let's say, repaving. Not necessarily reconstruction, but repaving. Just starting to see that it's starting to deteriorate, and, you know, without a five-year program, the system is going to continue to deteriorate. Any questions? Yes.
What five-year program are you talking
about? We here about 6 years ago, we had a five-year program, and because of flooding, it was to catch up. And in that 5 or 6 year period, the price of asphalt doubled, and we found ourselves starting to fall behind. Last year was the end of that five-year program, and I'm hoping that next year we can develop another five-year program to look into the future.
Anyone else? Peter.
Yeah, I agree with what everyone said, but on the other hand, we were willing to cut the highway in April. We were willing to cut the highway budget by considerably more than this.
We were. We didn't vote on it.
But that's what Joe's recommendation to us would have been, and I doubt very seriously that we would have increased it. The point I'm trying to make is that I don't believe it should be a year-to-year decision. One of the things I had hoped to accomplish by doing this, I didn't really expect most of this to pass, but one of the things I wanted to do is to hope that we could go into a more rational mode of funding highways and be able to maintain perhaps a much lower standard. I don't know what that number is, but reduce that number to something that we think we can continually do without having to... without having to make a special exception in each one of the years.
Martha.
I'm sorry. Thanks for the opportunity to respond. In April, we voted 5.4. We didn't know what that meant for any department. It was a global number that was in response. Basically, I think it was kind of, here's what the tax cap looks like plus the mandate increases. That's how we got to that number. That didn't mean we understood that it meant any particular thing for any department, Peter.
Are we ready to vote on this?
Can I just have a clarification?
Yes.
What was the motion?
It's 75,000. A cut of 75,000.
So 75,000 from the $240,000 target.
Right.
From
and
how much is that?
165,000.
Thank you.
Right. And a yes vote would mean that you're in favor of the cut. A no vote would put us back to the original resolution.
Can I speak against the cut? I have asked our Public Works Commissioner on a couple of occasions to please propose a deferred maintenance catch-up capital program for us again, which hasn't been developed yet. And I would much rather see us go in that direction this year than keep taking these giant nibbles out of paving.
Thank you. Are we ready to vote?
I would like to move to further amend this. Okay, because I understand the impulse. It seems like it would have to be based on a rational number. The original request to pave 3 miles of road that the highway department put in was $354,398. If we funded half of that, instead of just an arbitrary amount of another $75,000 request, the amount that would be there instead of $240,000 would be $177,250. So at least it would be based on something rational. It would be a little less than what Peter is suggesting. So I just to base it on some, whether I vote for it or not, just to base it on something rational so that there's a certain number of miles we can still pave, would seem to make sense to amend it.
What if we got kilometers?
Let me pull out the rule. An amendment to an amendment cannot be amended. Right? An amendment to an amendment cannot be amended.
This is only one amendment. This would be the second. I can do
there's
this.
There's only one amendment. And this would be.
Wait, there's one on the floor. That the original
this would be the second,
second
one.
The third.
No, the original is the original. It's not an amendment.
Mine was a motion to separate, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So this is only the second.
All right, well, go ahead. Make your proposal.
So my proposal would be to make that the number in this box $177,250.
Is that a cut or
which,
addition?
Let me see what that would come to.
Slightly more.
Yeah.
That would be
$12,000 more.
$10,000. Can you do the math for me, Kevin?
Yeah, hold on.
What is that? Would that make it? Which Peters would make it 240 minus 75.
Call a question.
165.
Hold on. No, there is no second to her motion. There's a time limit on motion.
There you go.
10 seconds, 9, 8, 7. You have to make the motion, Carol.
So to change Peters by $12,250. So instead of 75,000,
it's 87,000.
87,250.
Is there a second to that?
No, sorry, it goes the other direction.
Oh, the other. All right.
I want to make the highway slightly bigger than he would make it.
Want to make it bigger than 240, is that right?
No, I want to make it that number 177. 240 minus 177.
Oh, no kidding, Martha. Mm-hmm. They're getting you
and
me for
something.
The first seven meetings
43,
in September.
43,000. It would change Peters to 43,000 instead of 75,000.
You have a number?
Yes, 43,000.
Is there a second to her 43K? Dies for lack of a second. Oh. How about back to the $75,000 cut? Are we ready to vote on that?
Could you please state what you want to do?
I'm sorry?
I think there's a confusion here.
Carol's motion is gone.
Yes, I know that. I think
point of order?
Yes.
Would you please clarify what a yes or a no vote means?
A yes means that you're in favor of the cut turning from
120
to 75. The cut is the $75,000.
So instead of funding 240, we would fund 165.
Right. So a yes vote is 165.
None of it in driving.
I'm sorry? All in favor, raise your hand, please, of the resolution. 1, 2, 3. Opposed. That should be 11. It fails. 3-11. And we're back to the original motion now. Are we ready to vote on that? Please raise your hand. All in favor of the original motion, which was reducing 240 by 120 to 120. Please raise your hand. 1, 2, opposed. Everyone else. 12-2. Next item, ER, force funding source change. It's from Target to one time, $127.93. Who is
Is that considered moved? Because
it's been moved already.
Okay. Right. Anybody want to talk about it? Kathy?
Well, I heard Peter's description of it, but I'm curious if there would be any impact other than changing it from Target to one time, or what the impact of changing it from Target to one time would be, and I wondered if that could be clarified.
It could. Who are the other legislators who have your hand? Pam and someone else over there?
No, not me.
Are you guys? Okay, go ahead. Go ahead. No, you're on. Microphone's right there.
I'll make it very brief, as I understand the motion, that it's not a question of whether to cut the positions. It's a matter of how you're going to fund them, and it translates into 1.5 FTEs becoming an over target with one-time funding. And I'll save the argument if the motion passes for next year to restoring those or maintaining them. The only thing, Peter and I had opportunity to discuss this the other day, I understood this in the full context of the package that he was proposing to the legislature, and as Peter stated, that with us taking a look through the department and our partner agencies at how we're structured, how we're staffed, and in light of some studies being done, it is entirely possible that there will be some ways to deliver the services with different staffing patterns. My only caution is that having looked at the past 10 years of constraining the staff or keeping the staff within the constraints of the budget that we had to work with, we're actually at smaller levels accordingly and collectively than we were 10 years ago. And I have my suspicions that whatever studies we do are going to come back and say you need to increase staff, not decrease. And that my caution is that if you're looking at this a year from now, it may make that reach that much harder if you put this into one-time funding rather than maintaining it as part of the ongoing target.
I have Martha, I have Brian, I have Dooley, and Mike.
Thank you. To expand on what Lee said, the study that's going on, it is inconceivable that they will come back and say we need fewer staff. We've spent a lot of time earlier this year and late last year dealing with complaints from sort of clients of this department because of difficulty staffing. And I know Lee now finally has nobody on disability. All the positions are filled, so we're starting to feel like things are moving along. And this study will be very important, not in telling us. It really doesn't. It's really not conceivable that they will say we need fewer staff. What's likely is that they will say we may need a different configuration, and very likely at least one position may need a significant bump up in salary. That's what's been talked about at ECROC and in other conversations. So I think this is going to put us deeper in the hole. You know, if we were to fund this one time, then that means we'd have to add back the full amount the following year. This is one of those 24/7 operations. It's something, this is a life and death issue if we were to skimp on this. And I think it'll make the budget the following year just that much incredibly more difficult.
Brian?
Yeah, I certainly agree with that. Obviously, we know the position that's currently being filled by Brian Wilbur. I think we're all in agreement that the compensation for that, most likely from everybody we've talked to, will go up. And I agree with Dooley's point that she made an hour ago or whatever, that if we're going to cut, we should look at those cuts not just for this year, but what's the impact going to be? You know, if you're going to cut it, then you better be prepared to maintain that amount of cut down the road. I certainly don't see that happening in this case.
Abdullah?
I just wanted to ask a question about the motion and the second. The original Peter motion was seconded by Pat for discussion. Then it was
the separation motion passed. In each of the separate things now, the assumption seems to be that Peter is moving each one and Pat is seconding each one. And I don't know whether that's an okay assumption or not. If the seconder doesn't want to second some of these, it doesn't seem
Excuse me. That's what I asked like a half an hour ago, and you all agreed that it was okay to do it this way. But, Peter, go ahead.
Yeah, that's a standard Roberts motion to separate something. You separate it into the parts. They don't have to be removed and reseconded.
Okay.
That's the standard.
Yes, but if the seconder chooses not to continue.
You know, it's like, I think we have to email the county attorney on that one. I have Mike.
Yeah. First, I have a question, then I'd like to move an amendment. Peter, where does the money come from if this is one time? Are you talking taking tax levy money? Are you taking fund balance money?
Well, it's fund balance money. That's the usual thing.
Okay, so... So that means we have to come up with that money again next year if indeed we keep those positions.
No. Mm-hmm. Well,
Go ahead.
We have a lot of experts on emergency response that know that we're going to have to increase the number of people. I am not so sure that we have to increase the number of people. I would hope that we have ways of configuring and ways of training our people that will reduce the number of people. I don't know whether that's going to happen or whether it's not going to happen. But when you're in a situation of flux, I think it's a bad time to hire a permanent person. And I don't think that the people who are saying to the contrary really know. I think it's their gut feeling, but it's my gut feeling that maybe we will find better ways of doing it. There's no way of arguing that because none of us are experts.
It's one gut feeling against the other.
I have an amendment.
Mike?
I'd like to amend Peter's motion, first of all, to restore it to target funding, and second, to eliminate one full-time dispatcher. And I don't know what the figure dollar-wise is for that, but maybe someone has it.
It would be approximately... $70,000.
Can I get a second to Mike's motion? Is there a second to Mike's motion? Died for lack of a second. Back to the original motion, which was deciding whether it's target or one time. Any more on that? Are we ready to vote? All in favor of the motion on the floor, which is changing from target to one time. Raise your hand, please. One, two, three. Opposed. All the rest. There's 11-3. Next one, planning. $65,976. Anyone want to talk about it? Nathan.
Sure. Well, actually, I was proposing that we take a break because we're almost 2 hours.
Anyone else want to talk about that?
I think we should look at this schedule for today, and because I don't think realistically we'll be able to go through everything before, say, 9 o'clock, and I think we should let the department heads that can go home, go home.
So. Everyone agree with that?
Yes.
Okay. Fine. We'll take a break, 10 minutes. We'll come back at 8 o'clock. 2 minutes of 8. The sheriff and planning are next.